We had such a wonderful time at our house on Thursday of this week. They had the, you know, City Beggars Night. And we set up coffee and we put up a big banner that says, you know, Bethel Church. And people come. And every year they tell me how they so look forward to our neighborhood. Because it's like nobody ever does this. And I'm thinking other churches should do this. I think that would be a great idea. If you're out there in Facebook land, we set up coffee at my house. And people come and they get a cup of coffee for adults. We tell the kids you can't have any unless your mom and dad say yes. And most mom and dads are like, no, you're not giving my kid caffeinated coffee before bed. It's like, yeah, and the kids are like, oh, got any hot chocolate? No, no. We also don't do hot chocolate, partly because we know that the kids would take the hot chocolate, get in their cars on the way home and spill it on their laps, their costumes, their parents, their cars, everything. So we just do coffee for the adults, and they really love it, and they tell us how much they look forward to it, and had a good response from people. This year, church, we did something a little different. On the side of the cup, I don't know that we'll see anybody. We only gave out 125 cups of coffee and 5 cups of water. On the side of the cup was a little label that said, if you would like to have lunch on a Sunday morning, you can come to the church at 10 o'clock and someone will take you out for lunch afterwards. So free cup of coffee and a free lunch. So if you see somebody visiting for the first time, you might ask them, did you get the free lunch cup of coffee at Beggar's Night in Sherwood Forest? Yes, I am Robin of Loxley. We live in Sherwood Forest. So anyway, you know, and see what happens. Maybe somebody will. Maybe nobody will. But at least everybody was like, wow, that's really cool. You do that? That's really neat. So we had a really good time. I served a lot of cups of coffee. A lot of cups of coffee. And I'm glad that we got to do that. And that got me thinking about service and being a servant and having the heart of a servant. And I got to thinking about it. You know, I thought, well, I probably have an old sermon someplace in a file. And I do. You know, most of everything I've preached on, there's a file cabinet in there full of, you know, hundreds of sermons. I've got all the way back to my first church in 1981. But I started writing some things down. And then I finally got in and grabbed the file. And there are like 4 sermons in there on service. I'm not going to try to do them all today. But I was looking at things and discovering some new things and discovering some old things that God was making renewing in my mind. And I wanted to talk to you about having the heart of a servant. So turn to Philippians chapter 2. And we'll start with verse 5 there. And we're going to talk about what it's like to have the heart of a servant and how that can actually... The crazy thing is, being a servant is the greatest thing, the greatest benefit to you, one of the greatest benefits to you, maybe not the greatest, but one of the greatest benefits to you that you could ever have. Here in Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5, it says, let this mind, one version says attitude. I like that. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and those on the earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Consider the attitude of Christ. How do we think of ourselves? Do we think of ourselves like Jesus thought of himself? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks, so is he. So if we don't think of ourselves, if we don't recognize ourselves the way we should, if we don't process that information correctly about how we should see ourselves, it will affect how we think. And we like to think of ourselves as kings and priests, and the Bible talks about that. In fact, it talks about it twice in Revelations 1:6 and 5:10. It says that we are kings and priests, and we will be kings and priests before God. And I think that's an important thing. And we like to think of ourselves as a royal priesthood, and it says that once in the Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. If we want to be more like Jesus, though, and if we want to be more scriptural, maybe this thing of thinking of ourselves having the attitude of a servant, bondservant, doulos in the Greek, it's funny. I don't exactly understand why sometimes it's translated servant, sometimes it's translated bondservant, sometimes it's the exact same Greek word. I don't know if I'm missing the tense change or something, but it's not, you know, the levels are kind of in context to whether it means servant, bondservant, slave. It's all kind of the same. It's used in all those contexts. And so I want to have the mind. I want my attitude to be like his attitude. How many want to be more like Jesus? Okay, so Jesus, his attitude was that even though he was God and had a right to be like God, or to be recognized even like God, to be honored like God because he was God, to be revered, to be esteemed, to be treated like God, even though he had all that, he chose to allow himself to become a servant. And it's crazy if you start looking it up. I'll let you do that. There are tons and tons of places where servant, slave, bond servant are in the New Testament. And there's a whole lot of serving going on. So what does that look like? Well, let me give you a couple of the scriptures today, and it'll help you get a better picture maybe of that whole bond servant thing and what it looks like, or that slave, servant, bond servant, you know, all those, doulos. In chapter 20, starting with verse 20, let me read to you. And it's also found in Mark 10, a little story here. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What you want?" Just hillbilly version, the new hillbilly version. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left hand, in your kingdom." And Jesus answered and said, "Do you not know what you ask? Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" In the Mark version, it actually says, it's like he looked past Mary and looked at the guys and said, "You don't know what you're asking. Like, I know mom asked, but I know you wanted mom to ask." They said to him, "We are able." And so he said to them, "You will indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentile lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you, let him first be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus did not come here to be served. His whole life was not about him becoming what the Father wanted him to be. His whole life on this earth was about you and me becoming what the Father wanted us to be. And he served. He served. And we know what that service took him to and what that service took him through. The more we serve, the greater we become. Let me say that again. The more we serve, the greater we become. No one will ever serve the way Jesus served. And that's why no one will ever be greater. No name will ever be greater. But the more we serve, the greater we become. I've said this before, but I'm going to pop it in here. It's not in my notes, but I have this picture in heaven, you know, of us, like, I don't think it's really going to be like this, but it's just a metaphoric picture. I see this line of preachers, you know, Billy Graham, and you start naming them off, you know, the great preachers of history, Smith Wigglesworth, and all these guys lined up, and somewhere in that line of preachers, way back probably, I might get in there. But in front of us are all the old blue-haired and gray-haired men and women who were intercessors, and no one ever knew their name, and they never stood in front of a crowd, and they were never anything, all that and a bag of chips to go. You know, they didn't get any accolades. They didn't get anything. But they're in front of those guys because it was their prayers that made it possible for the guys like me to even get anything done. I really believe it's going to be kind of like that. Whether it actually manifests in that way or not, I don't know. Wow. Because they did things great, and they served, and they served, and they toiled, and they worked, and they gave of themselves selflessly. Across the country today, you know, it's Sunday, so really around the world, there are a lot of people in church service today. But for many, it will not be an act of service, but it will be an act of serve us. Right. They'll be looking for the preacher to preach what they want to hear, or something that makes them feel better. Now, I want to make you feel better. I really do. I want to make your lives better. I want to make your walk better. I want to make your talk better. I want to make you more like him every time I get up here. But nevertheless, sometimes, I was joking this morning, you know, sometimes the only miracle I can pull off is healing insomnia. Sometimes that's all I can do. Just, you see different people throughout the church to start getting healed of insomnia. There goes another one, yeah. Sometimes that's all I'm doing. Just somebody got healed anyway. If the message doesn't strike them right, or the church doesn't meet their needs somehow, they won't be happy. And again, it's not that their needs aren't valid. Really, we do. We want to meet needs. We want to be a blessing. It's just the attitude, the mindset, sometimes is what's actually keeping people from the very breakthrough they're needing. This attitude that was in Christ ought to be in us all. And I want you to understand the benefits of service and having this attitude. The benefits of having this attitude, there's more that I'm going to talk about today. But in Luke 17, 5 through 10, we read this. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. How many of you want an increase? Here it comes. You ready? So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And I want to emphasize and, because he first says, you don't need a lot of faith for stuff to happen, but that was intended to increase their faith. In other words, they increased their faith by realizing their faith didn't have to be super big. And which of you, now this is to increase your faith, which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? Will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you were commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. This is weird. I don't know that I've heard too many people preach this, but I have preached it. Your faith is increased when you serve with this kind of attitude. What? How does that increase my faith? See, they were told two things. It doesn't take that much. And two, being a servant, both in action and attitude, increases your faith. How? When servants become focused on what their masters have for them to do. And we have one master. He's Christ. When we become focused on what he has for us to do, it takes the focus off of ourselves. It takes the focus off of what we think we need or want or, you know, what's bugging us. And it puts the focus in the right place. When the focus is in the right place, fear and doubt doesn't have much room to function. Because they're, you know, the focus, the blinders on both sides of our eyes. I'm doing my master's will. I'm doing what God gave me to do. This is what matters. This is what matters. What's he up to? And then when he says, do this, before you realize what you're doing it and it's a miracle and you don't even know you did it. It can happen like that. His purpose, his provision, when they're the focus, then everything else comes into alignment with them. And that's powerful. I don't hear a lot of faith people preaching that, but sometimes the quickest way to faith is service. Wow. Because I'm so focused on what he's got me doing that I just believe he's going to take care of everything. And guess what? It doesn't take much for that mulberry tree to be pulled up by the roots and thrown into the sea. When I'm serving, I'm not thinking of myself, so I'm not dependent on what I can do. I become dependent, more dependent on him. Amen? You like that? Yeah. I would like to take note here that we can ruin our service by serving to get attention. Have you ever seen anybody that was serving to get attention? If no one's watching, they're sweeping the floor when people are watching, but when no one's watching, it's like, yeah, whatever. Put the broom against the wall, and check out their Facebook feed. If you need people to notice your service, then it may be self-service. And that may not be what you want, so you may want to catch that. If you catch yourself, you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself. We all struggle with that to a degree. We all struggle with what we think people think of us. And that can hinder our faith. That being said, I do think it's appropriate, and I always like to recognize those who serve. You know, we had a pretty crazy week. There was a lot going on this week. My wife decided on Thursday she was going to take a day, partly because I was wearing her out already during the week. And she took a personal day, and she helped prepare for what we're going to do tonight, and she helped prepare for Thursday evening, and she helped me get caught up on some stuff because I was so far behind that I was starting to believe in reincarnation. Couldn't possibly get this far behind in one lifetime. Just kidding. Gosh. Said reincarnation. A couple people actually woke up though, ruined their insomnia. Anyway. Lisa helped out a bunch this week and I appreciate her help. I am so thankful to have a helpmeet who helps me. And, you know, I bugged Joan this week. Corey was working hard too, but then she got called in and she had to teach. So she had to teach all 5 days this week and then try to get the stuff done at the church at the same time, you know. And I called Joan to check on a couple of things and she was like, yeah, if you need any help, you know. And then, you know, Dave came out and helped serve coffee and Matt came out and helped serve coffee and Mom and Dad gave candy to the little kids when they came up and Beth was there. Yeah, Beth was, where's Beth? Beth was there helping, and we were all in our t-shirts and said Bethel, and you know, that was good. It was good for people to know that there is a church in town that serves. that serves. And again, I didn't even know that this was what I was going to preach on. We just do this stuff. And a whole lot of you, I probably should have written down all the people who helped out at the beginning of the week. We had things going on here at the church, and we had a dinner over in the fellowship hall, and there were people who cleaned and helped, and just all sorts of stuff was going on. It was a very active week. And you know what? I love it. I love it. And I got to tell you, I love how this church loves its family members, how this church takes care of people. We've had this unusual number of people going home to be with the Lord, but it's been an unusual season for me to see how much this church cares and loves and how well it does. And y'all did well. And I think that's worth celebrating. Not only does service increase our faith, but it also increases our authority. Luke 19, verses 12 through 26. Going to read a long section here, but listen up. Therefore, he said, this is Jesus, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants and delivered them 10 minas and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Yeah, that happens in politics every so often. And so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And then he came to the first saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, I have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. And likewise he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Isn't that amazing? You get a coin, you're faithful with what you got, is not much, and then, boom, 10 coins, 10 cities. 5 coins, 5 cities. Then another came saying, master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that I, my coming, I may have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, master, he already has 10 minas. The master went on to say, for I say to you that everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. What the man got out of his 10 minas was 10 cities. What's he talking about? Authority. Talking about authority. The one with 5 got 5. He walked in greater authority because he was a faithful servant, a faithful steward, doing what he was given to do. Our level of authority is directly proportional to our level of service. And I've seen it happen over the years. People served and served and served and thought they were forgotten. But then God raised them up and put them in a place of authority with great responsibility. Some people don't want responsibility, by the way. It's another reason why they don't have any authority. God's not going to waste his authority on you if you're not going to take responsibility. Hello. Let's look at another verse of what else service does. John 12, 26 says this, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. That's why I like to try to honor people for the stuff that they do. When I see somebody doing something amazing in the church, I try to remember to honor, because that's what the Father does when people do service, when they do great things. And by the way, it not only says that you'll get honor, but where my servant is, there I am also. I believe service is another one of those things that takes you into the presence of God. Just saying. Sometimes if we just couple a little service with a little worship, have a little worship service right there while we're changing a diaper or cleaning up a mess or fixing the plumbing or whatever it is we've got to do. Sometimes that would be a great opportunity to enter into the presence of God. Look back, past sermon. John 15:15 says something that I want to couple with all this. No longer do I call you servants. Whoops. Are we about to get a change? For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Jesus calls us friends. In becoming servant-minded, I don't want us to forget that. And I don't mean for this to take the place of everything else that we're trying to teach. But what we call ourselves in any given moment can affect how we are behaving in that moment. Let's not forget that he laid down his life for his friends. And that brings us back to service. That is the act of the greatest servant of all. So I want to desire, you know, I have this desire to be like him at every opportunity, not doing away with my friendship with him, but always wanting to serve in every situation. And then Galatians 4:1-12 says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave. Let's read on. Though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. I don't want to ignore the fact that we are sons. Let me read on. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Holy Spirit in your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then the heir of God through Christ. I don't want us to take such a servant attitude that we can't recognize that we are sons or friends. Let me read a little bit further. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or are rather known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest you have labored in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. In all of this, Paul is saying, become like me. This is a really cool thing because Paul was really big on this servant thing. In fact, he called himself a servant and an apostle, and he called himself a servant more than he called himself an apostle at the beginning of his letters. I don't want us to forget that we're sons. I don't want us to forget that we're friends. And Paul emphasizes the sonship thing here, and then he turns around at the very beginning of this letter and calls himself a servant. He wasn't doing away with being a servant. He was just making sure we know all the things that God has for us. He also talks, by the way, about being a servant in Romans, to the Romans, in his letter to them, to the letters in the Corinthians, the Philippians, the Colossians, Timothy, Titus. Almost all of his letters, he says something about being a servant. I like to think of myself this way. Maybe this will help you. As to the things of this world, my relationship to this world, I'm a son. This world, Papa's home. I want to go home and be with family. I want to be with God. That's where I belong. I'm a son. I'm part of his family. As to the work of God, I want to be a servant. I want to accomplish his work. I want to do the thing that he sent me here to do. I want to accomplish that. And then, to the will of God, I'm a friend because he talks to me. And he helps me understand what his will for me is. And he helps me understand what his will for others is. And he helps me understand what his will for the world around me. And He wants to be my friend. And he even lets me chime in. We talk. And so I have that relationship on all three levels. So let me wind this all up with two verses. I thought this was cool when I found it. 1 Peter 1:1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:1. So we're at the beginning of each letter, right? First letter, Peter, an apostle of Christ. Second letter, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Christ. Maybe I'm just making a bit more out of this in my head than I should, but I kind of had this feeling that in Peter's first letter, where he called himself an apostle, that by the time he got to the second letter, which may have been eight years later, that maybe God had worked some stuff in him. And he realized that more important than an apostle was a servant. I have a feeling he became an apostle because he was a servant. And maybe his theology was just a little adjusted. And so in his second letter to this group of people, he said, hey, a bondservant and apostle. Because he wanted them to understand what was first. I believe Peter was like us. He's continually growing. And sometimes we get, emphasis. The Holy Spirit does put emphasis on us. There'll be a season where he emphasizes you being a son. There'll be a season where he emphasizes you being a friend. But I don't want us to forget that we're called to service. Now your service, well, it's not for you. And just service, as we know, won't cut it because 1 Corinthians 13 says, you can give your life, but if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. I just want to encourage you, as you're part of Bethel, the church where you're always told to be the one, I want to encourage you to be the one who serves. Look for opportunities just to do the little things, just to pour a cup of coffee for somebody, just to open a door for somebody, just to do like Lisa's testimony, make somebody laugh on the other end of the phone. Be really nice to the person who is on the other end of the phone when you've had it built up to here with their company who keeps messing up your bill or whatever you got. And you call them, and then there's this nice person on the other end of the phone. They didn't do anything. It's not their fault your bill's messed up. And you make them laugh. Pretty soon you've got enough of a relationship in what? A few minutes. And you say, can I pray with you? Wow. Man, is that cool. They're there to serve you. You called the service center, right? And she served them. How powerful is that? How like Jesus is that? Let me just close by saying there will be opportunities for service here tonight. There'll be little kids running around, trying to give them a good time. Bless our young ones. We're going to stick their names on their outfits. Write them on a margin so that if you look at them, you'll know their name. And you can maybe say, hey, and then read their name. Carla. I knew your name. I just had to read it to get it right. you might help out. It might be you won't get to help until we're putting the tables up at the end. Never can have too many people to help us clean up when we're done. We'll be having some fun and some games, and maybe the best thing you can do is serve some little child just by calling them by name. Might be here's a goal. Come tonight and see if you can talk to every kid. Well, there's only going to be 15 or less. So that's the plan for tonight. So wouldn't that be cool? Every kid feels like you gave them a little attention. And in so doing, you're serving the Lord. So we're going to have a party. Nobody said serving can't be fun. Serving can be fun. I had a blast Thursday night serving coffee. And I'm going to have fun tonight. Blessing our children. Amen.